just heard the first verse of the hymn we're going to be looking at today, In the Very Midst of Life. But before we do so, today is, of course, June the 26th, 2018. It's a Tuesday. We received an email from an individual about last week's program. I'm writing you because of your answer to Pastor Smith's question about the line containing the phrase, retain or release me. And she questioned our interpretation of it, namely that it was...
your interpretation.
Excuse me. I better put you on. What did you say?
Your interpretation, Tom.
Which you agreed with.
Yes, regretfully.
Well...
No, I tell you, when you gave me that explanation, I wasn't absolutely sure about it.
No, I know you weren't. I know you weren't. And so she said that was a common one, but she didn't like that and gave me another understanding. But I decided to go to the German.
Ooh.
And guess what I found out? The words retain or release me are not in the German. They're not even the original hymn by Gerhardt. He has instead the last line, Ich habe gestellt alles in deine Seligung und Hand, which means I have committed everything to your fatherly hand. And the words release or retain me aren't even there. So we had a discussion of something that wasn't even in the original. Isn't that interesting?
It is very interesting.
It's good she caught that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Without that.
Very astute.
Yeah, I don't know who her pastor is, but I can only... Why are you laughing?
She's one of my parishioners.
She's one of your members?
Yes, yes. She spoke to me after the broadcast.
No, she's very wise. No, she tells me that in the email. She did. So, well, thank you very much. You can thank her. We won't mention her name or anything.
Okay.
But you can say that we looked up in the original and it's not in the German.
That explains everything.
Boy, whoever translated that added some stuff. So we're in the very midst of life. And that's written, of course, by Gerhardt too?
No, by Martin Luther. You didn't look at the subscript.
Yes, I not only looked at the subscript, but my good friend Henry Gehrke, remember?
Yes.
He gave me this book, The Hymns of Martin Luther, that he had participated.
Uh-huh.
And it's got every one of the hymns. And In the Very Midst of Life was actually a popular Latin hymn from the 11th century that Luther based this on. The problem was, in the 11th century, it was a frantic cry for help during war.
And during war?
Yes.
No kidding.
So Luther took the first stanza, made some changes, added two more stanzas, and as we see when we go through here, he instead focuses on the source of all of our help in any danger.
That's right.
Including death. And so that's really good to know that this was an original hymn.
Well, I can imagine, you know, looking at the different verses, it really is, it's grim. I mean, it's grim insofar as it talks about the snares of death surrounding us. I mean, this sounds like you're right on the battlefield.
Exactly. And you know, we had talked about this, I guess it was the week you didn't show up.
Oh, the week we did. Right. The week we had the Missouri District Convention.
Yes, yes. And I got into suicide.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a good hymn to share with someone who has those thoughts.
That's right. Yeah, I would agree there.
Yes. And so with you with me today, why don't we go ahead and you would read the first stanza, all please. Right.
In the very midst of life, snares of death surround us. Who shall help us in the strife? Lest the foe confound us. Thou only, Lord, thou only. We mourn that we have greatly erred, that our sins thy wrath have stirred. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God, save us lest we perish in the bitter pangs of death. Have mercy, O Lord.
What I find very interesting is the reason why people should believe that the snares of death surround them. It isn't always because of a bad life you're having or this kind of thing, but it's the fourth statement, which begins, we mourn.
We mourn. I'm looking for that. Oh, yeah. We mourn that we have greatly erred. We mourn that we have great. In other words,
keep going.
We mourn that we have greatly erred, that our sins thy wrath have stirred.
Yes. You know, that is.
Wages of sin is death.
Yes. And that is the purpose of all evangelism, to get to the point where the person, no matter what is happening in his life, the real cause of it is his sin.
Right.
His sin. Mm-hmm. It just gives him a bad conscience. He feels bad about it. He can't even look in the mirror sometimes. He tries to hide from other people. This is true for everybody. And it's particularly true for those contemplating suicide.
Right.
They feel they're alone. They have no friends.
Yes.
They have no purpose in life. And when they look at themselves, they see failure after failure.
Yeah. Right, right.
And so why keep on going? And they don't realize that failure is due to their sinful life. And that's the purpose that one has to get across to them.
Yeah, but the challenge is to make that transition from their sins. Yes, your sins have brought you. The challenge is to give them the gospel as soon as you possibly can, you know, when they're ready to receive it. Because otherwise, you know, you don't want to just dump more law on them.
Well, I think there's a bigger challenge with the law is for them to recognize that it is their sin.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
As opposed
to what, let's say?
Well, let me give you an example. That's the best way to do it. This past weekend, what was all the big celebration in St. Louis for 2 days?
Oh, was it gay
yes.
Pride?
Pride yes. Week, yes.
Pride Week. Pride Fest.
Pride Fest, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had many, many people marching around with colors and all this. And, of course, I'm driving a taxi. Uber. So I go down to the area where I knew there were gay bars things like that. And the police had the area blocked off for cars.
Uh-huh. No kidding.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I know why.
They heard you were coming.
No, they heard I was coming, yes. And I had a big sign on my car, homosexuality is an abomination before all my... No, I'm not that stupid. Because I would have had some new holes in my car.
Oh, man, no kidding.
At any rate, I got some of them in the car.
Uh-huh.
And not all of them did we get around to the conversation there, but what I find was the hardest thing for them to understand is that their lifestyle was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't think it's wrong.
No, right. Yeah.
You know, and especially with others in the car, they're going to admit that. Yes.
Yeah.
And I've been reading articles about the death rate of people with that lifestyle are like 15 to 20 years younger than the normal death rate. And that's because of disease, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of bickering going on, and divorce is very high among gay marriage. It reminds me of what I was trying to say other times, that God sets up negative consequences for sin, just as he sets up negative consequences when you go against the laws of nature, like the law of gravity. So to ask... So your question, which was...
How do you make the transition?
Yes.
From you have to help them to realize that, you know, it's a result of your sin that you feel this way.
Yes. But now they're in a group where they're feeling really happy because they're together.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I find out I have a lot more ability to be successful when I have one alone in the car.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
In fact, I picked up somebody in Clayton who was going right down into that area. You know, we started talking, and we were talking about Uber and things like that. And I said, well, where are you going? And it was pretty obvious where he was going. And we started talking about that. And I said, yeah, I'm a pastor and I have a radio program. And he says, yeah, we're going to have pastors walking with us. And, well, there was my opportunity. And
sure, I said, sure.
Well, I'm not one who will be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was silence for a bit.
You were quiet, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't know how to take that.
No, no. Because we were really, I go out with him.
You talk with him. In other words, you had a congenial conversation.
What I'm trying to do is how Jesus would have talked to the prostitutes.
Right.
And the hated tax collectors.
Yeah.
Remember, the Pharisees were just absolutely angry with them. And I'm very careful, though, what I do, because a lot of people know me in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they need to see is Pastor Baker walking into a homosexual bar. I know
him. You have some explaining to do.
Well, there was a professor who did that, and he was homosexual and didn't know it.
And boy.
So I'm always with other people if I do something like that. So I have a witness and things like that. So I'm real careful. And I'm also careful not to start the conversation as soon as they get into the town. I let God decide whether or not he wants me to have a conversation. And once they ask me a question, why I feel the way I do.
Yes.
And like the one discussion was, well, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that, is there? And a lot of
says
pastors,
what?
Homosexuality is wrong.
A
lot of them go to Leviticus and things like that. It's really clear. I go to Romans. Romans 1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is as clear as glass there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, a lot of these liberal pastors say, well, that wasn't Jesus talking. That was Paul talking. And then I say, well, that's interesting. From my point of view, 2 Timothy teaches everything.
All Paul scripture is inspired, right?
Is from God, from Jesus. It's the word of Jesus. You know,
that's right.
So inspired by God and such. And so rarely, just like on a program like this, does anybody ever change their mind while they're on the air? But my adult instruction increased when I was doing this program before, of people who, one was a Jehovah's Witness. She became a Lutheran, married an agnostic who became Lutheran. That's the way God works.
Absolutely.
This kind of thing. You just have to keep plodding along, and you have no idea.
The word would not return void.
Well, I remember also what Paul says. You know, somebody waters,
right.
Somebody plants,
yes.
Somebody. But always it's the Holy Spirit who gives the growth.
That's right.
Not the
God
pastor
giveth
doing
the growth.
That.
That's right.
So when you're reading this, it just hit me really good. That the worst thing that we fear is our sins have stirred his wrath. And then what follows? Holy and righteous God. You see, I'll be talking maybe about this tomorrow on Insight. I haven't quite decided. I have to do a little bit more work on it. But the value systems in this country are being decimated.
Oh, you aren't kidding.
And the only place you can get a value system is from God's word. Anything else will fall apart. And if you don't have a solid value system, there's no sense in doing anything in the world. That's why so many suicides are occurring. Because without a value system, nothing is better to be done than anything else. You just do whatever
you want.
What's
the difference?
Yeah,
yes.
What's the difference? Well said. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that just provides no meaning in life,
no purpose.
And when things start falling apart, the other thing I'm thinking of doing, there was this white pastor in the Post-Dispatch who talked about how certainly he is a member of white privilege, and he was going through seeing all the privileges he has. That is terrible. Nobody has any privileges. White or black or whatever. I'm going to be talking.
It's all by the grace of God.
Well, not only that, everybody's got problems.
That's right.
Well, what he's saying, that he's better than black people because he has privilege? I mean, that's racism. I had a congregation with a lot of black people in it.
Mm-hmm.
They all had problems, but so did the white people. I didn't see any privilege from one to the other. And every one of them on a Sunday morning said they deserve nothing but temporal and eternal
punishment. That's right. They're part of the confession of sins.
Absolutely. And they meant it.
Absolutely.
So this idea It's a way of, well, I've talked about this before, identity, where who you are, you can believe whatever you want. You just have to be tolerant of others. It's a terrible teaching, and it's causing, in my opinion, a lot of suicides, because they're recognizing that there is a holy and righteous God. And Luther, in the very first stanza, what are the last phrases that he has there?
Save us, lest we perish in the bitter pangs of death. Have mercy, O Lord. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. That's what you have to lead them to.
Right.
Because apart
He's
from...
He's our only hope.
Well,
there's no hope. There's no hope apart from him, really.
Stanza two.
In the midst of death's dark veil, powers of hell o'ertake us. Who will help when they assail? Who secure will make us? Thou only, Lord, thou only. Thy heart is moved with tenderness. Pities us in our distress. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God, save us from the terror of the fiery pit of hell. Have mercy, O Lord.
How many people say that they're going through a period of hell?
Yeah, a lot of people.
That's, yeah, and that's
you,
not...
We use it loosely, you know. Oh, that's hell.
Yeah.
Oh, that was... That exam was hell.
Yeah, yeah, sort of exactly. And what you can do with this verse is this. Part of the verse is said by, let's take the suicide again, somebody who's contemplating suicide without any hope. Powers of hell o'ertake me. Who will help when they assail? Who secure will make me? See, that's what you're trying to get in the mind of the person, that there is no security when you're looking at yourself.
Right.
Then the next part is the gospel. Why don't you read that?
Thou only, Lord, thou only, thy heart is moved with tenderness, pities us in our distress.
Now see, that's what they haven't understood.
No.
That there's someone who does pity them in their distress, right, which means he loves them.
Yeah, well, they haven't heard the gospel.
No.
Or they haven't paid any real attention to it.
Well, they haven't believed it either.
Right.
No. Yes. But before they can believe the gospel, they have to realize how deep in the throngs of hell they are in. And that's every person. I did two baptisms last Sunday, and I specifically mentioned to the parents that you have both a responsibility and a privilege to have these children grow up understanding that Jesus never will leave them, that he loves them, that he died for them, etc. And the less you talk about that at home, the more chance that the public schools will get them to not believe in any values anymore. That's how important parenthood is.
They really have to be armed.
What does Luther say at the front of the catechism as to who should be teaching?
Well, the father.
The
father,
head of the household.
The head of the house, right.
Yes, exactly. Stanza three.
In the midst of utter woe, when our sins oppress us, where shall we for refuge go? Where for grace to bless us? To thee, Lord Jesus, only. Thy precious blood was shed to win full atonement for our sin. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God, Lord, preserve and keep us in the peace that faith can give. Have mercy, O Lord.
Notice the first two lines again are the response of law.
In the midst of utter woe, when our sins oppress us, where shall we for refuge go? Where for grace to bless us?
That's the questions you're trying to get
right
in the person's mind.
Yeah.
The suicide thinks there is no answer to those.
No. Where is the only help?
Answer it then with the next two lines.
To thee, Lord Jesus, only.
Yeah, now that's really...
Thy precious blood was shed to win full atonement for our sin.
This is why I say a lot of times pointing out a hymn is as good as pointing out a Bible passage.
Right.
Because where does this come from? To thee, Lord Jesus, only. It's one of the onlys of the Reformation.
Yeah.
Sola.
Sola Scriptura.
Yes.
I beg your pardon. Sola Christus.
Sola Fide, faith.
Sola Fide, faith alone.
Sola Grace.
Sola Gratia.
And Sola Scriptura.
Sola Scriptura.
Those four of them.
Right.
And that's what they don't understand.
Right.
Once you leave the Scripture out, which is God's will for us and His revelation of what He wants, you're lost. You have nothing. In fact, you'll be asking these questions. Where shall we for refuge go? There is no refuge in yourself. Those who tried to find the refuge, Jesus referred to as the self-righteous. You know, the Pharisees, how you know where their refuge was? Thank God I'm not like that guy over there.
Their works, their own self-righteousness.
They always look to their works, and that always fails, as Saul found out, who became Paul.
That's right.
Yes. So it's just really... by the way, did you know that In the Very Midst of Life was a hymn by Luther? I did not.
I realized it this morning.
Well, when you looked, that's not fair to look. Your wife has taught you well.
Yes. Yes, I finally learned. She's trained.
Look down below to see. And then I find out when I take Henry Gehrke's book, is he didn't write it. It was another hymn.
A Latin hymn that he adapted.
That he adapted and then changed some of the word and added two new stanzas. And the Latin hymn is really a fearful hymn. It just asks the questions, doesn't give the answers.
Doesn't give the answers, really?
No.
Wow.
Which was interesting. Not like Luther does here, where he says, to thee, Lord Jesus, alone. That's what every sermon needs to be.
Absolutely.
Every sermon needs to have the pews quake in their shoes. And then
bring them to their knees.
That's right.
With the law.
Yes.
And then give them, just heap the good news of the gospel on them. Let them walk out of that church knowing, oh, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, but thanks be to you, dear Lord Jesus, you've washed every last one of my sins away.
Excellent.
Thank you be to you.
Yeah, the worst thing a pastor can hear when he's shaking hands, a fellow goes by and he says,
you really told them.
Yes, exactly.
You really told them this morning.
It's about time that they heard it. And I said, whoops, I'll have to change the sermon. Yeah. No, that's... Now, it rarely happens. But a lot of times, people are thinking, oh, who's he talking about?
Yeah.
And unless you make it clear, I'm talking about you. That's why I've never asked people, say, what a great sermon. And I say, what did you like about it? Because 9 times out of 10, they say something I can't remember I said.
Yeah, yeah.
But God had used the words to go into their heart. Guess what? We're done.
How about that?
Okay, next week?
Yeah, planning on it.
You sure there's no convention?
As far as I know.
Okay. I'm Tom Baker, and that was Mark Smith. And we're looking forward to tomorrow, Insight Wednesday. Be with us as we'll be kind of going over something that you may have even emailed us about. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.